Thank you for tuning in. This is Rochester Speaks. I'm Ray G, here with Calvin Eaton, founder and CEO of 540 West Main. Calvin, how are you today?
I'm good. How are you, Rachel?
I'm good. Thank you for asking, and thank you for joining me.
Absolutely.
So let's talk about 540 West Main. Your nonprofit is an anti-racist education platform that promotes justice for all. I would love for you to break that down for our listeners. You know, give me some background info and tell me what your mission or vision is.
Yeah, so we founded in 2016, and originally we were at a location, which is our namesake and brand, 540 West Main Street, which is located in the Susan B. Anthony neighborhood of Rochester. And we really started as a community location, a place where a safe space for people both in the neighborhood and outside of it to connect around education that's rooted in wellness, rooted in, you know, social justice, and really just connecting people. And we had a lot of initiatives that supported revitalization, you know, thinking about gentrification and really why neighborhoods in Rochester, like the Susan B. neighborhood, have historically been underrepresented or excluded from wealth. Thinking about, you know, how we can support community low-income, Black, people of color community members in the Susan B. neighborhood, really thinking about things like economic justice. And so as we evolved, we really began to have different types of programming. So right at the first year, we had an after-school program, which is one of our first programs that was free to low-income members of the community. We did, you know, job fairs for the community. We did a lot of supporting of local artists, of Black artists in the Rochester community, artists of color, emerging artists who otherwise would not have had a space to present their work each month. As we began to evolve, we really started to notice and see that the programming that was really most beneficial to people and that most resonated with the community were classes that really helped people to understand, again, like, why do our communities look so segregated in the Rochester area? What does gentrification mean? You know, how people can take action when it comes to speaking with policy leaders and thinking about, like, houselessness in Rochester and why that looks the way that it does. And we began to evolve into really creating classes and education that was rooted in social justice and helping people not only understand, like, the why, but really the history of Rochester, the history of structural racism and what that looks like and how history is connected to the present, right? So we talk about something like homelessness and what that means. We have to take a look back, you know, 30, 40, 50 or more years ago, and, you know, policies that were created back then have a really real direct impact on our current lived experiences. And I think that that's important for us to keep in mind, that sometimes we look at and we think about the past as something that was, like, so long ago and has no direct connection with our present day lived experience, but that's really not true, right?
Right.
We think about the policies that were created in the 1950s and 60s that segregated and excluded some members of our community have a really direct impact on why our communities look the way that they look today, and the demographics are the way that they are, you know, the wealth is distributed the way that it is. So it's, our classes are rooted in that and really helping people to understand the present and the past connections.
I love that. That's great. I would like to know, like, what are some of the classes you offer and what would people expect to learn in these classes?
Yeah, so early on, we really focused on creating foundational programming. So again, a lot of, like, level one style classes, introduction to structural racism, understanding the history of gentrification. And as we've grown our membership base, so we also have over 200 monthly members or sustaining people who pay monthly to support our programming the work that we do on a financial level. We've begun to create self-guided courses and classes that are, you know, a little bit of a deeper level. So we, just thinking about some of our recent classes coming up, most recent, on the 28th, we have a class, Understanding Cultural Appropriation and what that looks like. It's a panel discussion. We have a conversation about critical race theory coming up in October, helping people to understand, like, what is critical race theory and, like, why is it so polarizing right now. It's not something that's new.
Sure.
It's not a new concept or theory, but it's something that has been talked about for over 30 years, and sort of what that means. And We also have, most recently, we've had some really successful programming and panels around improving how we teach about slavery. We know that recently in our area, there have been some communications and really public backlash around worksheets that were had in certain school districts, Webster and Pittsburgh, that was framing slavery as like a choice.
Oh,
or
gosh.
Something that was like really as horrific as it was, as a way to sort of like make it less horrific for students. And we know the problems with that, especially for Black students and students of color, is that it's not an accurate portrayal and depiction of our history of this country. And you know, it's important that we are able to acknowledge the history of this country, because if we continue to erase our U.S. history, right, it's really difficult for us to actually create policies and solutions that bring people up to, you know, equality, you know, and parity with other people. So that class was really something that was really meaningful to the community and really well attended as well. Since our founding and since last summer, really, we've transitioned to become a primarily virtual organization. So we no longer have our physical location at 540 West Main Street, but we offer our programming and classes predominantly in a virtual space, and that's really opened us up to be able to connect with communities beyond Rochester.
Oh, good.
Not only sort of domestically, but we've also been able to connect with folks internationally, which has been really exciting. And we're really have been increasing our accessibility of our classes. So since last year, all of our courses online offer ASL interpreting free of charge to the community. We're able to better connect with members of the deaf and hard of hearing community here in Rochester and beyond as well.
It's great that you guys are being as inclusive as possible, it sounds like, which is so important.
Absolutely. We're trying to. We're learning so much every day, and just continuing to connect and have conversations with folks and, you know, talk about, you know, how can we, again, connect with more people in the community. We have facilitators and teachers who are Indigenous and Latino, and they have also been really instrumental in helping us understand how we can perhaps add like Spanish language interpreting for our classes again, so that we can make our programming as accessible to as many people as possible.
Awesome. So let's talk more about anti-racism, which is so important. I saw that you guys offer anti-racist consulting. What would that entail?
We have sort of two areas of consulting that we offer. We have our membership program, which an individual can pay monthly and get access to our programming. We record all of our classes. We create, you know, digital content and resources, blog posts and articles for our members. We have that at the organizational level as well. So organizations like Writers and Books, Nazareth College are able to pay a monthly fee and allow our classes each month to be watched and attended by their students, by their faculty, by their staff. So that's an area in which we connect with organizations, and we also provide consulting. We know many organizations are really analyzing and exploring how they can be more anti-racist in their practice, how they can create opportunities for more diversity of their staff, of their leadership. And so organizations consult with us along any number of outcomes to help them be able to understand how they can be more equitable in their approach. One of our big clients right now is Memorial Art Gallery. We also have done some work recently with Writers and Books locally and some other organizations as well.
That's awesome. I think it's really, really important, especially how the world is now, where, you know, there's so much misinformation out there that it can divide us. So you guys are doing that work to keep us united.
Absolutely. And I think it's important that people understand that when we talk about structural racism and we talk about the impact of racism on people, that it's not divisive, right? It's really understanding. It's really understanding the nuance of racism and the spectrum of it, and that, you know, covert racism looks very different than, you know, someone using a racial slur or someone being very, like, openly and visibly bigoted. That also is racism, but racism also looks like quiet discrimination, you know, and those types of things.
Microaggressions.
Or asking someone of color, you know, to change their hair texture because it's not appropriate. Those microaggressions and macroaggressions also fall under the spectrum of racism, and they have a really insidious impact on people who experience those every single day.
Absolutely. Now, I would love to know, If it did, how did the pandemic affect what you guys do at 540 West Main, positively or negatively?
Oh, my goodness. Well, I like to frame things very positively. I think that we absolutely probably would not be virtual if it wasn't for the pandemic. When the pandemic happened, we pivoted pretty much immediately to switch the way that we offered our programming online. I remember purchasing the Zoom platform as soon as we went into lockdown last summer, and we really haven't looked back. I will say that the conversation around providing our content in a virtual arena was something that we had been talking about as a team, but we just had never really moved forward with it. I think that we were making sure that we had the right platform. It had to be perfect. How are we going to do this? And then when the pandemic happened, I really like to say that the pandemic gave me as leader confidence to be able to say, you know what, this is the direction of the world. This is something that's needed right now. And we just immediately move in that direction. Our lease was ending in the space that we were occupying, and it just really made financial and logistical sense to move in the direction of being virtual. And it's an area that I kind of have a background in. I come into the work of 540 being someone who's been a blogger and a content creator for social media for other organizations and companies in the past. And so I've really been able to take a lot of those skills and apply it to building our brand and building our engagement with 540 over the years.
Yeah.
And so existing virtually is something that I love, because we don't have to focus so much anymore on maintaining a physical space. We can put a lot of that focus and direction and money really on improving the content that we create. We've been able to hire our first full-time and part-time staff members since last summer, and really grown ourselves, our internal processes. And we really wouldn't have been able to do that if we were still trying to also connect with and support a physical location.
Sure. It sounds like the pandemic provided you guys a lot of growth, and you got to do something that you'd already been thinking about.
Absolutely, for sure.
Love that. I would love to hear an example of how 540 West Main has made an impact in our community.
Yeah, well, let me actually, it's funny that you say that, because we recently just finished the eighth week. So we launched a lot of programs in 2021, and one of them is an anti-racist facilitator fellowship program and we were able to bring on 12 community change agents who are committed to dismantling structural racism and having those conversations in their places of employment and where they also exist in the community. And we have 12 fellows who are partaking in this program, this first cohort, and we finished our eight-week intensive. The program is split into an eight-week intensive part and then a residency part. And this past Tuesday was our last day of the eight-week intensive, where the fellows came together virtually every Tuesday for 3 hours. And we had different community members teaching different aspects of facilitation with them. One of the questions that we asked them on our final day was, what has this program done for you as a future anti-racism facilitator? And one of the comments that someone shared is that she said, it's given me a clear path with resources and skills to help me focus my journey to be a facilitator. I have a clear goal, and I also have fellow travelers and guides along this path instead of stumbling along blindly by myself.
Wow.
That's just one testimonial of this particular program, where we're really all about connecting people with like-minded individuals in the community, really building a network and building a community of individuals who are dedicated to this work. I think that it's so important, the camaraderie that's involved with that, individuals through a program like this with leaders who are already doing this transformational work. I think that sometimes when we have these difficult conversations, if you don't have the confidence and you don't have some of that foundational education, you can really feel like a fish out of water. But providing these resources through our programming really help people feel more confident to be able to engage in the conversation with a CEO or a director and say, hey, why is our company not diverse? Why do we talk about diversity, but why do we not see it in our outcomes, in our staff? And I think that a program like our facilitator fellowship really give people that confidence boost, but also the education and the tools and strategies that they need to be able to successfully engage in dialogues and discussions, as opposed to remaining in this debate phase where people are just sort of debating something back and forth and never really listening to each other. We're really providing folks with the tools to be able to have real deep dialogue around these issues so that we can all move towards change.
It truly sounds like you guys are doing amazing work, because there's definitely a difference between, you know, debating with emotion or having a deep conversation with cold, hard facts. And that's important.
Absolutely. And I think it's important that we think about dialogue. It's also about active listening and having humility and not feeling the need to attack someone because they have a different point of view, but taking a step back and listening, you know, asking questions like, have you always thought that way? Can you share a little bit more, like, why you feel this way about this particular issue? One of the things that came from this last day as well is that someone said they were able to engage in like a 1 hour conversation in this program for the last 7 weeks, that he just had so much more range of emotion, of understanding, to be able to have a deeper level of conversation. Even though they didn't come to the conversation agreeing on every point, they were able to engage in the dialogue and also push each other to think about something a little bit differently. He was able to do that in a way that was meaningful to the person that he was talking with without it getting highly emotional and shutting down the conversation completely.
Definitely.
That doesn't help anyone when that happens.
It really doesn't. Are you looking for any volunteers, donations? If anyone was interested in joining 540 West Main or contributing, how would they go about that?
Yeah, so our website is the best way to donate and become a member, a monthly member. That website is 540westmain.org. We're always looking for volunteers. Volunteerism for us looks a little bit different now because we don't have a physical location. Our in-person programming is also in many ways right now tied to the ever-changing pandemic conversation. So we do have, as it continues to be safe to do so, opportunities for like clean sweeps and those types of things where people are actually doing a direct service in the community. But a lot of our volunteerism right now also looks like administrative support, folks who are internet savvy and digital literacy to help with like some of the web components of the work that we do as well. And all of that can be found on our website.
Beautiful. Well, Calvin, is there anything else you'd like to add?
I don't think so. Thank you all for support. And I'm really happy to have this conversation with you to connect our organization and services with a wider audience.
Absolutely.
Sure.
That's Calvin Eden. He is founder and CEO of 540 West Main. I am Ray G, and this is Rochester Speaks. Thank you so much, Calvin.